by step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers of Madani Channel back to another episode of this beautiful seerah program, this beautiful timeline program of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed life called the life chronology of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, for those of you who have been with us from the very beginning, marhaba, and for those who haven't, please do enjoy this program as well. And you can find the early episodes of this program on your social media pages, inshallah. In that way, you'll be able to follow up from the very beginning, from the blessed birth of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the way to what we are discussing today, and all the way to the blessed wafat of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before we go any further, we first like to encourage you to recite salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases our love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who recites salat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah azza wa jal, 10 mercies for the one who recites salat just once. Now, we want the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. We should recite salawat. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's program, inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to be discussing some very important incidents within the blessed seerah, within the blessed life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today's discussion is going to be surrounding the incident of Hudaybiyah, the expedition of Khaybar, as well as other events of the 6th and the 7th year after Hijrah. Alhamdulillah, on the last episode, we discussed the 4th and the 5th year after Hijrah. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, today we're going to be discussing the 6th and the 7th year after Hijrah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And for today's discussion, alhamdulillah, I am joined in studio by our Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib. Marhaba, Mawlana Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, Jazakallah for joining us. Alhamdulillah. And on my left, I have our Mawlana Suhail Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan for joining us on this wonderful journey, Mawlana Sahib. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And a big Jazakallah to the viewers of Madani Channel that have been with us and always supporting Madani Channel, always viewing Madani Channel and learning the blessed deen of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam via Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So the Muslims were in Madinatul Munawwarah with the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for quite a few years now. From the first year after Hijrah, which we discussed, first, second, third, fourth, fifth year after Hijrah, and now into the sixth year after Hijrah, the Muslims have spent time in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his blessed ashab. And remember, they were the muhajirun who had left the blessed lands of Makkatul Mukarramah and headed towards the blessed lands of Madinatul Munawwarah. They had left their homes and they had left Ka'batullah is in Makkatul Mukarramah. Hajr al-Aswad is in Makkatul Mukarramah, Maqam Ibrahim is in Makkatul Mukarramah, Safa and Marwa are in Makkatul Mukarramah. They are missing Makkatul Mukarramah. They are yearning to see Makkatul Mukarramah. They have the desire to perform Tawaf of Baytullah, of the Kaaba Sharif. They have the desire to see the blessed Kaabatullah. They have the desire to perform Umrah. Makkatul Mukarramah is the homeland of the Muhajirun. The Ashab in Madinatul Munawwarah, they also desire to see Makkatul Mukarramah. They also desire to perform Umrah, and it's been 6 years that they have not been able to go to Makkatul Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar. And now the Ashab are yearning to see Makkah. They are yearning to see Makkatul Mukarramah and to perform Umrah. So in the year 6 years after Hijrah, in the blessed month of Dhul Qa'dah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his blessed Ashab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with 1,400 Ashab, together, they don the ihram. They put on the ihram, they take their sacrificial animals, and they start making their way from the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah
to the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah with the niyyah, with the intention of performing Umrah for the sake of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful scene. What a beautiful time. How much they yearn to see this blessed city. And now they are going to see the blessed Baytullah. Now they have the intention that they are going to see the blessed Baytullah. Now they have the intention that they are going to perform Umrah in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And they leave with this wonderful, beautiful caravan of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heading towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. However, when the Kuffar of the Quraysh heard of this, they did not want the believers to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah. First, they didn't want believers to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now they don't want the believers to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so, they had devised a plan and they had consulted with surrounding tribes as well that they are not going to let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the believers come into Makkah al-Mukarramah. They are not going to allow them in the Mataf area. They are not going to allow them to perform Umrah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left with his ashab with this intention of performing Umrah. But the Quraysh had set up armies. They had set up armies out of Makkah al-Mukarramah, on the outskirts of Makkah al-Mukarramah, to ensure that the believers do not enter Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar. Here, such a beautiful intention they are coming with. But on the other side, the kuffar are not allowing and are not prepared to allow the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come into Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears of their plan, hears of the kuffar, the armies of the kuffar being stationed at certain routes where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ashab were intending to first cross, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then changes his direction. He then changes his route, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, goes now still towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, but via Hudaybiyah, via the route of Hudaybiyah. And the Muslims get to Hudaybiyah, but Hudaybiyah is a very arid land. It's a very dry land. And in Hudaybiyah, there is this shortage of water. Muslims had brought sacrificial animals, intending that they are going to perform Umrah and they are going to sacrifice the animals. All they have upon them is the ihram. And they have left in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now when they reach Hudaybiyah and there is this shortage of water for the believers to be able to use, to drink, to satiate their animals, Allahu Akbar. There are difficulties upon journey, and this is one of the difficulties that is presented in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to then advise the ashab or help the ashab. Mulana sahib, can you tell us of that time in Hudaybiyah where there's such a shortage of water? The ashab are thirsty, there's need for water for wudu, there's need for water to feed the animals, but there is no water.
Allah, indeed, in Hudaybiyah, water was very scarce. And there was a well present.
Right.
But that well would dry up after some usage or some time. So obviously the Blessed Companions, alayhim ar-Ridwan, were thirsty. The animals could not be fed. They could not make wudu. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed his blessed and mubarak hand on a bowl. And upon placing his hand in a bowl, water started to gush out of the blessed fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. And to that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made wudu. And the remaining water, ya Sayyidi, of the ablution, he took that alongside an arrow and he threw them into the well.
The dry well.
The well that was dry, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw his remaining ablution water and an arrow into the well. And because of this, subhanallah, the well started to, you know, fill itself. Companions, alayhim ar-Ridwan, they, you know, were able to drink water. They were able to make wudu. They were able to feed the animals, subhanallah. Just because of the placing of the blessed and mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a bowl, subhanallah. What an impact it had, subhanallah.
Wow, anything attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so blessed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa blessed mu'jiza we see here, that again, at the time of the need of the ummah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, through the blessings of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difficulties of the ummatis are removed, alhamdulillah. And the tabarruk, the barakah from that which the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has used. That is the arrow from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the water from the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it is placed in the well, then alhamdulillah, the water rises up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the entire Muslim community that had joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey to Umrah. 1,400 ashab can all have water and be satiated. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Where there is difficulty, alhamdulillah, Allah does bless us with ease through the barakah of the company of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. And so the Muslims settle in Hudaybiyah for a little while. Now there is a water source, so it becomes a little bit easier, alhamdulillah. However, there are still the kuffar of the Quraysh that do not want the believers to come into Makkah al-Mukarramah. They don't want the believers to come on Umrah, and the believers are on their way wanting to go for Umrah. Yes. But the Quraysh are up in arms. They are ready to stop the believers, even if it means by force. So there is some need. And what is the need of the time? The Muslims didn't come to fight. They didn't come in armor, they came in ihram. They didn't come with weaponry. They are coming to perform Umrah at Baytullah. And so, the need is not to fight now. The Muslims don't want to fight right now. The Muslims just want Umrah. And so there's a need for some dialogue. There's a need for an agreement. There's a need for some peace agreement to allow the believers to perform Umrah. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being at Hudaybiyah with his ashab, with the need being there to make some agreement with the kuffar of the Quraysh, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to make an agreement. But who does he send and how is this agreement made?
Actually, see, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he didn't go with the intention to fight because he didn't go in armor, he went in ihram. And so the rest of the Sahaba that followed him. And this is actually a very negative image on part of the enemies of Allah. You know, even nowadays, you would hardly hear anyone stopping anyone from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj and Umrah is a part of worship. And they had gone there to fulfill this ibadah. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the evil of when someone stops you from being devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is, in Islam, is something that's frowned upon. Even the entire humanity would frown upon something like this.
Yes.
You know, somebody wants to worship and you are stopping that person. And here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to worship and he's being stopped. But he doesn't now respond cruelty with cruelty. That is the peace-loving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always looking for a way to mend the relationships, to bring in peace, even in the state of chaos. And Hudaybiyah was no different.
Yes.
So he looked for a way to reconcile and pacify them to an extent, or to pass the message on that we didn't come here to fight, but we are rather here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us do our action that we came to perform here and then we'll go back. As simple as that. But no. So to put this matter to rest, he wanted to send one of his representatives, and his first choice was Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He asked him to, if you could go. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I, first of all, there are no friends that I have there. All of them have turned against me as my enemies, and I don't have any close ties there anymore. So if I go there, they might not pay heed to what I have to say. And then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was elected to go there among the Sahaba. Because Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, who was such a Sahabi, who still was respected and honored among the Quraysh because of business ties and so on, and some family members also, they held him in high regard and high esteem. So when he was commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go, he went, and he was well received by the kuffar for the old time's sake. And then they even allowed him to say, if you want to perform your Umrah, go ahead. You should do your Umrah and everything, tawaf. We won't stop you. He said, no, I'm not going to do it alone. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not allowed, then I'm not going to do it alone.
Allah.
Subhanallah, look at this devotion. Allahu Akbar. And when they hear that, and that's when things turn sour. They didn't like that. That how come you are so devoted to him that he doesn't come? Meaning it didn't go well with them. And that is the time there was some heated argument. And after a little while, there was some rumor that spread that Ma'az Allah, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been martyred.
Allah.
And it reached the ears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hudaybiyah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this news, this horrific news, he was taken aback. And he said to the Sahaba that now we have to avenge the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it has become compulsory upon us.
Mm.
Yes. And with that, he sat under an acacia tree and he took the bay'ah of the ashab and he said to them that pledge allegiance to me that you will sacrifice if you have to, subhanallah. And all the sahaba, they said labbaik to this call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this action of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, their sense of sacrifice was so much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentioned it in the Holy Quran. It has been documented in the Quran that every letter of which it is ibadah to read.
Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Wow, the ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pledging allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so beloved to Allah. They pledged their loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their last breaths, that they will be loyal to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in the Holy Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in another verse as well. That لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allahu Akbar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this pledge of allegiance of the ashab, their sincerity in the pledge of allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he azza wa jalla had mentioned it in the glorious Quran as well, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And this allegiance of sincerity, alhamdulillah, a'mal are loved when they are sincere. And the ashab were very sincere in their pledge of allegiance. But Mawlana Sahib, you mentioned a rumor regarding Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and being killed. Was it just a rumor or was it really the case?
No, it was actually a rumor. And the reality was totally contrary to the rumor. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was safe and sound, alhamdulillah. And this battle was avoided, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, subhanallah azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Our Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was safe. It was just a rumor, alhamdulillah. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sent another message to the Quraysh as well. There was a personality who knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew him as well. He was a personality by the name of Badil. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to the Quraysh with a message. And the message was loud and clear, a very simple message, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ashab did not come to fight. They had come to perform Umrah, and it is only to allow them to perform Umrah. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that it is known that the Quraysh had lost many of their brave soldiers. They have lost many numbers in battles just recently. So they were weakened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them, still we haven't come to fight. However, if the Quraysh do fight with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assured them that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab would see it through right to the very end, that they would not run away from the battle. However, there was no intention from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight a battle. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala to propose this treaty, to propose this agreement with the Quraysh in order for them to let the Muslims come in to perform Umrah. However, were there any representatives from the Quraysh that were sent to meet the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to discuss any matters?
Huzur, actually, Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi, He was one of the representatives that went to meet with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, regarding the truce. And when he met with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, one of the statements that he made was that your best companions will desert you.
Oh.
Allahu Akbar, they would leave you. And this really angered Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Amir al-Mu'mineen that, you know, he insulted Urwa. And he said that we will never desert the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And really, this really angered Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And, you know, also at times it was seen that Urwa, he would, you know, touch the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also at times, you know, he would like tug the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, with this, you know, action, it really angered Sayyidina Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala, and also a best companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he took his sword with the handle of his sword. He hit the hand of Urwa and told him, you know, to stop doing this action that you are doing with the best beard of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this was one of the representatives, and obviously by his actions and his doing, he also got the taste of the jalal, you can say, of the best companion, the pride of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed ashab was so loyal to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala would assure them that they will never leave the side of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sidna Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala, how upset he got that someone is to touch the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hitting the person's hand and saying, take away your hand from the blessed beard of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So defensive of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that this created such an impression on Urwa that he went back to the Quraysh. And he told the Quraysh something amazing. He told the Quraysh that, O my people, I take oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have such loyalty with him, such love for him, that they will not allow his blessed saliva to even touch the ground. If he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to spit some saliva, it is not that it would touch the ground, but rather one of their hands would be there to catch his blessed saliva and to rub it upon their face and to rub it upon their bodies. And if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to command them to do any task, then they would run and hasten towards that task in such a way that you would think that they are going to draw swords between them in order for them to be able to do the task as per his command, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he is to perform wudu, then they do not let a drop of the water from his wudu even touch the ground. He says, O my people, I've been to various kings. I've been sent to various kings and I've been to various kings. I have not seen any king having the honor, the respect, and the loyalty of his followers as I've seen the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have with him. Allahu Akbar. What an impression this had created upon Urwa, that he realized that these ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are such that they will never leave his side. Subhanallah. And for us, O believers, O Muslims, we see the beautiful example of the ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the incredible love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they loved him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They respected him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much so that they wouldn't let the water of his wudu touch the ground. That no king ever had a servant like the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one has seen loyalty like the loyalty of the ashab to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Asab, you were discussing that this was one of the representatives sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was there anyone that was sent to make any agreement with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first to extend his hand in order for an agreement to be made out. From the side of the Kuffar, from the side of the Quraysh, was there anyone that came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to discuss any agreement?
Suhail bin Amr, he came from the side of the Quraysh to discuss a truce with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that when he arrived Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you know, because of his name Suhail, that Suhail bin Amr has come. So there indeed has been some ease has come, because obviously Suhail is basically the one that makes ease. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he explained to him that I've come to, you know, make some agreement with you.
MashaAllah.
A truce. So him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Suhail, they sat together and they discussed and agreed upon some points. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to write the truce down. Subhanallah. So while they're writing the truce, so Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started by saying to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, then Suhail now he interjected and he said, "Oh Muhammad, I don't know what Rahman means. So you should leave that part out. You know, in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, leave Rahman out." So he said, instead of saying Rahman or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, say Bi Ismika Allahumma. You know? So then there was this agreement and a disagreement now between the blessed companions. And they were on this that no, you should keep Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the one to obviously make that decision. And then he said, no, right? You know what he's saying? Bi ismika Allahumma. So as writing that, then it came for the name of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala to write that these are the conditions agreed upon by the truce of Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, who is the messenger of Allah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the messenger of Allah, then Suhail again, he had an objection. He said, "Oh Muhammad, indeed if we have accepted you as the messenger of Allah, then we would not have this truce. So we would have not had an objection of you coming to Makkatul Mukarramah." So instead of saying messenger of Allah, say the son of Abdullah. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at him and he says, "Yes, indeed I am the messenger of Allah and I am the son of Abdullah." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala to remove the messenger of Allah and write the son of Abdullah. So this now, obviously, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, being his blessed companion, being the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this really caused some difficulty within him that he could not remove the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially being the messenger of Allah. So he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "Ya Rasulullah, I cannot remove this. Ya Rasulullah, I cannot remove this."
Aqidah, his belief is so firm in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the messenger of Allah. How is he going to remove it from the writing?
They found it very, very difficult to remove this name. So Huzur alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, you know, he removed his name to the son of Abdullah. So this was, you know, some of the difficulties. Though Suhail came from the Quraysh side, you know, to set the truth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you could see by their actions that they weren't really welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, it seemed as if they weren't happy of the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do and perform Umrah alongside his companions. And this was the coming of Suhail and engaging with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to set the truce.
Allahu Akbar. And this truce itself, really, it's an agreement, it's a treaty, it's supposed to be there to bring ease between the two parties. However, if we just listen to the clauses or the conditions within the truce, you would see that apparently it does not seem like it's in the favor of the believers. The kuffar were being so difficult upon the believers. However, the beginning of the truce, one of the first clauses of the truce, was one that seemed good, alhamdulillah, and that was that no fighting was to take place between the Quraysh and the believers for the period of the next 10 years. So alhamdulillah, this was a great blessing that now there is no fighting. The kuffar of the Quraysh are not going to try to attack the believers if they keep to the agreement. as they were trying to attack previously. If we see in Badr, Uhud and Khandaq, which we've already discussed, where the kuffar of the Quraysh had launched attacks against the believers, and the believers had to then defend themselves and defend the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. However, now within this truce or this treaty, there is the agreement that there will be no fight between the Quraysh and the believers for the next 10 years. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The second clause was that of some difficulty. And now you will see much difficulty coming into this treaty. And that is that these very believers who came with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in ihram with their sacrificial animals to perform Umrah, they are to return back to Madinatul Munawwara this year without performing Umrah. Allahu Akbar. How difficult is this upon those ashab who left with the ihram to perform Umrah, and now the clause is that they are to return to Madinatul Munawwara without performing Umrah. Then they are to come back. They can come back and perform Umrah, but not this year. They must come the next year only to perform Umrah. After leaving Madinatul Munawwara, coming so close to Makkatul Mukarramah, having to return and only come back a year later to perform Umrah. And that too, when they come back to perform Umrah, they are to only stay in Makkatul Mukarramah for 3 days. That city that they've been yearning to see, that Kaaba that they've been yearning to perform Tawaf of for so many years, now they will only be allowed to be there next year and only for a period of 3 days. Another of the clauses that were so difficult upon the believers was that if any member of the Quraysh migrate to Madinatul Munawwara to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that person is not to be kept in Madinatul Munawwara. However, they are to be returned to Makkatul Mukarramah. Now these are the very disbelievers. This is the very Quraysh whom we know has tortured the Ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not want that the Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept the deen of Islam. They had tortured them and put them under so much of difficulty, so much of torment just for the acceptance of the deen of Islam. Now they are placing such conditions that if any Qurayshi happens to accept Islam and go to Madinatul Munawwara, he is not to remain with the believers, rather he is to be returned to the kuffar. And any Arab tribe that wants to create a relationship or a friendship with any of the parties, whether it be the Quraysh or the Mu'minun or the believers, those Arab tribes are now free to be able to do so. Alhamdulillah, this too can bring ease. However, the difficulty of having to return to Madinatul Munawwara without having performed the Umrah that they intended to perform, after they've come in the ihrams, this is a lot upon the mu'minun. And then if any Qarashi, if any person from the Quraysh becomes a believer and wants to be by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, that too they cannot do, for they have to return to Makkatul Mukarramah. And at this time, when this treaty is being made, before it can be stamped, there is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarramah by the name Abu Jandal, who was the son of Suhail bin Amr, the very Suhail bin Amr who has come from the side of the Meccans, from the side of the Quraysh, to come and draw up this treaty. His son has accepted Islam and he comes in shackles. He comes in chains to the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He comes bruised, having been tortured by the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah, and now he wants to be with the believers, that I have left them, I have managed to escape them, and now I have come to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've come to join the believers and be brought to safety, be taken out of my torture. And at that point, Suhail bin Amr, he says to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no, it is within our truce that you will have to return them. And the first one that will be returned is my son. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises Suhail bin Amr that the agreement has not been signed yet, so at least allow him to remain with us. He has come as a believer, but Suhail bin Amr is being stubborn at that point, and he says that no, if we do not return him to us, then we are not prepared to sign any treaty. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises Sayyidina Abu Jandal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the clause of the treaty says that you will have to go back. Go back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for you. Subhanallah azza wa jal. With a very heavy heart, Abu Jandal radiyallahu ta'ala an has to return to Makkah al-Mukarrama, back to the oppressive Quraysh of Makkah al-Mukarrama. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala feels this very difficult. Very difficult. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we not upon haq? Are we not upon the truth? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed we are upon the truth. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the kuffar not upon batil? Are they not upon falsehood? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed they are upon falsehood. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why are the believers being persecuted and tortured like this? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was having a very difficult time understanding it and accepting it after he had come with so much of shawq, with so much of enthusiasm to perform Umrah. And he sees Sayyidina Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in such a difficult state, in shackles, in chains, with bruises upon him from the torture and the torment of the kuffar amongst the Quraysh. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises him that indeed I am the Nabi of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah, and this is the point of sabr, inshaAllah azza wa jal, soon we will see the fruits of the sabr. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. However, later on, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and he repeats the same thing, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala advises Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala that please be patient, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should obey his command. And thus Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala does obey the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala felt it very difficult upon himself not to have performed the Umrah that he wanted to perform, but he felt it even more difficult upon himself that he had felt upset and that he had shown his feeling of being upset in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For many years after that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would do lots of ibadat to make up for that. There was no disrespect intended, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood it and saw it, that this is the love of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala for the deen of Allah, for the house of Allah, for wanting to perform tawaf and wanting to perform Umrah. This was his shawq that was coming out.
It was something that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala did when he initially embraced Islam. Yes. If we remember, if we recall, yes, that are we not on the truth? Allah. Then why are we hiding and performing our ibadah? Allah. Subhanallah. Similar thing that he has brought here, alhamdulillah. That was the temperament of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that was his the burning flame of iman that he had had, subhanallah. And he wanted his concern for Islam.
Yes.
And therefore we see in his time there were victories upon victories, subhanallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Munasab, on the same token, now the believers are to return to Madinatul Munawwara. They have not gotten to perform Umrah. They have their sacrificial animals with them and they are still in the state of ihram, but they are to return, and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to break this news to them. How was that state and how was that time?
They didn't take it well, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala alone, but everybody was feeling it, the pressure and this heartbroken state that they were in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them that we should go, we should perform our sacrifices and shave off the head, and then after that, you know, remove the ihram, and then we should go back. But the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were sad, they just sat down, and they were in a state. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood their mizaj and what they were going through. He actually pacified them in a way. And then on the advice of Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Umm Salima radiallahu ta'ala anha, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went and he did it himself. Infiradi koshish, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Subhanallah, he went and he showed them the way. He removed his ihram, and then the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they followed suit, and they also had followed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he practically, he made it easy for them to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically, and this is the deen of Islam requires.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. What a beautiful, what a wonderful understanding prophet we have sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his ashab radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they would see his blessed actions and they would follow what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Alhamdulillah. Now this treaty of Hudaybiyah, however, seems like a treaty that is against the Muslims. It seems like a treaty that placed the Muslims in a lot of difficulty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about this treaty in the Holy Quran, in which Allah azza wa jal has called this treaty of Hudaybiyah, as a fatham mubina, as a clear victory. Allahu Akbar. To the extent that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it really a victory? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would affirm that yes, indeed, truly it is a victory. Because many beautiful things came out as a result of this treaty. Now, the Arab tribes could have relations with either of the parties, the Muslims or the Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this beautiful opportunity to spread Islam. And thus, the Quraysh as well used to frequent Madinatul Munawwara. The Quraysh as well would frequent Madinatul Munawwara to the extent that great Sahaba Ikram, that Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he came and spent some time in Madinatul Munawwara, and Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, he too accepted Islam. This great commander of the army of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another great Sahabi, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala, he also accepted Islam in this time as well, alhamdulillah, through the barakah and through the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal had placed in the Muslims being in agreement with this treaty that seems so difficult. That same Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala had become the conqueror of Syria. That same Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala had become the conqueror of Egypt. So subhanallah azza wa jal, although it wasn't apparent at that time, but Allah azza wa jal in his hikmah had granted us Hudaybiyah being a victory. There was another Sahabi named Abu Basir, came to Madinatul Munawwara from Makkah al-Mukarramah. He had escaped the torture of the Quraysh and he had come to Madinah al-Munawwara, and upon him being in Madinah al-Munawwara, being an elderly person as well, being in Madinah al-Munawwara with the believers, however, the treaty was that anyone accepts Islam from the Quraysh and comes to Madinah al-Munawwara must be returned. And so the Quraysh had sent two people out to get him to come back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that you need to leave because this is the treaty that we need to return you. So with a heavy heart he went. But along the way, he had these two guards that were taking him. He told one of the guards as they stopped that you have a very fine sword. Your sword is so brilliant, so amazing. And so this guard started to boast about his sword. That yes, what a fine sword this is indeed. I have fought many battles with this sword. So he says to the guard that, may I see it, may I touch it, may I hold it and have a good close look at it. And when he hands it to him, he takes the sword and he turns against the guard and he takes the life of that guard. So the other guard runs to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back to Madinatul Munawwara. And Sayyidina Abu Basir also comes to Madinatul Munawwara, but however he is to be returned. He is to be returned and he goes back. But he camps at a place called Ais. And this place is between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwara, where the Quraysh would send their caravans via that path. And more ashab from Makkah al-Mukarramah start to join him. Sayyidina Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala joins him as well, until more and more ashab join him from Makkah al-Mukarramah in that space, in that place, till they reach 70 in number. Now they pose a threat to the caravans of the Quraysh, because that is the pathway of the caravans of the Quraysh. And as the caravans come past, they may loot those caravans and thus the Quraysh would lose their wealth. So the Quraysh themselves had sent a request to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now we want to retract that statement within the treaty. Now whichever people accept Islam and become ashab from the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, we want you to take them to Madinah al-Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his ashab and they came and they settled in Madinah al-Munawwara. Sayyidina Abu Basir radiallahu ta'ala an, however, when he received the message, the letter of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Madinah al-Munawwara, at that point he was in his last stages of life. At that point, he was close to his death and he took the letter of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he placed it upon his eyes in love for it, that my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called me, and he passed away. Allahu Akbar. He was buried there, a masjid was built there, and the ashab returned to Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, such love the ashab had for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so joyous they were to be in his blessed company. Let us also fill our hearts with the love of this blessed and beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to his beautiful praises. Listen to this kalam. Enjoy the words of praise of your beloved, our beloved, the universal beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And immediately after this kalam, inshallah, we will be back to continue the discussion of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Huzoor aa rahe hain, huzoor aa rahe hain, marhaba.
حدیث قدسی ہے اللہ عز و جل اپنے محبوب اکرم صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم سے فرماتا ہے کہ میں نے دنیا اور اہل دنیا کو اس لیے بنایا کہ تمہاری عزت اور مرتبہ جو میری بارگاہ میں ہے ان پر ظاہر کروں۔ اے محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم، اگر تم نہ ہوتے میں دنیا کو نہ بناتا۔ ذرا سوچئے کہ جو وجہ تخلیق کائنات ہوں، جب ان کی ولادت کا وقت آئے تو ہم مل کر کیوں نہ خوشیاں منائیں۔
مبارک 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 مبارک
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں۔
نہ کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے، نہ کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے، خدا کی خدائی کہ مختار آئے، خدا کی خدائی کہ مختار آئے۔ نہ کیوں بارہویں پہ ہمیں پیار آئے کہ آئے اسی روز سرکار آئے۔
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مرحبا،
پر نور کی آمد
مرحبا،
صادق کی آمد
مرحبا،
امین کی آمد
مرحبا۔
مسرت سے ہم کیوں نہ دھومے مچائے، مسرت سے ہم کیوں نہ دھومے مچائے، ہمارے شہنشاہ سردار آئے، ہمارے شہنشاہ سردار آئے۔ مسلمان صبح بہار مبارک، وہ برسات انوار سرکار آئے۔
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں،
مرحبا
کے گھر پر، اے خلد کی بہاروں سرکار آ رہے ہیں۔
مبارک تجھے آمنا ہو، مبارک مبارک تجھے آمنا ہو، مبارک تیرے گھر شہنشاہ ابرار آئے، تیرے گھر شہنشاہ ابرار آئے۔ مبارک حلیمہ تجھے بھی مبارک، تیرے گھر میں نبیوں کے سردار آئے۔
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں، مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں،
کیوں ہو نہ پیارا عدد ہم کو بارا
زارا کا کیوں ہو نہ پیارا کہ بارہ کو دنیا میں سرکار آئے کہ بارہ کو دنیا میں سرکار آئے درودوں کے گجرے لیے اب بڑھو تم لیے تم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
حدیث پاک میں ہے میرے آقا صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں تم میں سے بروز قیامت لوگوں میں سے میرے قریب تر وہ ہوگا جس نے دنیا میں مجھ پر زیادہ درود پاک پڑھے ہوں گے آئیے اگر قیامت میں قرب مصطفیٰ چاہتے ہیں تو اپنی زندگی میں کثرت سے درود پاک پڑھنا اپنی عادت بنا لیجیے
درودوں کے گجرے لیے اب بڑھو تم وہ آئے رسولوں کے سالار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک مبارک
حضور آ رہے ہیں
قیامت
مرحبا
آخر قیامت
مرحبا
یاسین قیامت
مرحبا
طہٰ قیامت
مرحبا
سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے وہ ہم آسیوں کے طرف دار آئے وہ ہم آسیوں کے طرف دار آئے نہ کیوں آج جشن ولادت منائے نظر رب کی رحمت کے آثار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک مبارک
حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک
مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
نہیں جن کی پیاری زبان پر نہیں ہے نہیں جن کی پیاری زبان پر نہیں ہے وہ مکے میں سخیوں کے سردار آئے وہ مکے میں سخیوں کے سردار آئے
ولادت کا صدقہ ہمیں اپنا غم دو شہا چشم نم کے طلب گار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک
مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک
مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
یتیموں کے والے غریبوں کے حامی یتیموں کے والے غریبوں کے حامی وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے
سیاہی ہمارے گناہوں کی دھونے بہاتے ہوئے اشک سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک مبارک
حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک
مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
ولادت کا صدقہ بقیے مبارک ولادت کا صدقہ بقیے مبارک کی دو گز زمین کے طلبگار آئے کی دو گز زمین کے طلبگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ مدینے میں آقا میرے سرکار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
ولادت کا صدقہ نقاب اب اٹھا دو ولادت کا صدقہ نقاب اب اٹھا دو لیے ہم سب امید دیدار آئے لیے ہم سب امید دیدار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر مدینے میں ہر سال عطار آئے
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں
کی آمد
مرحبا
دن دار کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے ہیں مبارک مبارک حضور آ رہے
Subhanallah, subhanallah, another beautiful kalam in praise of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how much more and more in love we feel with our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the more you love him, the more motivated you are to follow his beautiful sunnah. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We were discussing the spread of Islam and now people from Makkah al-Mukarramah also coming to Madinah al-Munawwarah, accepting Islam and even residing in the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwarah with the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until now, we see that Islam is being spread within the Arabian Peninsula, alhamdulillah. From Makkah al-Mukarramah, people are coming. From other areas as well, people are coming and accepting Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there any point at which Islam spread beyond the Arabian Peninsula as well?
Yes, actually, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along his companions, decided that in order for us to extend this dawah of Islam, and to also give others a chance out of the Arabian Peninsula to taste this beautiful halwa of Iman, the sweetness of Iman. So Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam decided to send letters and invitation to kings out of the peninsula of Arabia. And he sent many letters. And some of those countries that he has sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent letters to was like Rome, Abyssinia, Persia, Egypt, and likewise very other kingdoms and countries as well to spread the wing out of the Arabian Peninsula. And mashallah, not just invite individuals, but you know, you invite the king, you invite the entire qawm.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So this too is a beautiful wisdom of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inviting the kings and the rulers. For if they accept Islam, then alhamdulillah, their nations can follow them in accepting Islam. And some did accept Islam, some fortunate souls, some fortunate rulers, they had accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. There were some that were unfortunate and didn't accept Islam. Some would welcome the letters and the invitations, but they would not accept Islam. And unfortunately for them, they had lost the beautiful opportunity of accepting the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were some that also sent gifts back to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in appreciation that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had extended the invitation to them as well. Alhamdulillah, during the 6th year after Hijrah, these various milestones were reached, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. In the 7th year after Hijrah, the believers had turned their focus towards the Jews that had joined the army of the Quraysh to attack Madinatul Munawwara in the Battle of Khandaq. So now, those who had joined the Kuffar and had placed Madinatul Munawwara under a security threat, and who had challenged the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed the lives of the Ashab in danger, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessed Ashab had marched from Madinatul Munawwara. They had moved from Madinatul Munawwara to a place called Khaybar, which is approximately 320 kilometers away from Madinatul Munawwara. So they had moved all the way there in order to face those Jews that had joined the Kuffar and attacked the believers, attacked the Ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So mashallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gathered his Ashab, an army of 1,600 strong, and they had moved towards Khaybar. Of course, Rasulullah ﷺ did not attack at night. It was not the way or the habit of Rasulullah ﷺ to lay such an attack at night. Rather, Rasulullah ﷺ had waited until the morning, alhamdulillah, having performed the Salatul Fajr, and thereafter Rasulullah ﷺ had taken his Ashab towards Khaybar. Munasib, can you give us a little bit of an insight regarding Khaybar as well as the occurrences when Rasulullah ﷺ and his Ashab had approached the lands of Khaybar?
It was actually a range of 8 forts in Khaybar. And the strongest one of them being a fort, the in charge of that fort was Marhab. And Marhab is known among the Jews. He was like a famous warrior, and he was known to have the strength of 1,000 horsemen.
Allah.
1,000 horsemen, not just common people, 1,000 horsemen. And this was his strength. So they all gathered their strength. They even joined other tribes in their conspiracy against the Muslims and joined forces with them. So much so, their number increased to 20,000. 20,000 soldiers. And when they were just planning to leave Khaybar and to launch an attack on Medina Munawwara, before that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his subhanallah wisdom, he went there first. Before they could come, he went there to put a stop to it. And what an army he had, subhanallah. 1,600 sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as opposed to an army of 20,000. And that too, they were surrounded with forts. And here, the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had no fort. And they actually went, they left their homeland. So they were short on resources at the same time. And when the people of Khaybar, they saw the Muslim army, they made a noise, the farmers, etc. They made a noise that the Muslims are here. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here. And then they had taken all the security measures to protect their forts.
Right.
And the first, alhamdulillah, it began that the first fort was conquered out of eight.
Right.
The first one was conquered, and it had taken the martyrdom of one Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 50 were injured to penetrate this fort, the first fort that they had conquered. And likewise, the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unstoppable. They conquered forts upon forts, forts upon forts. And the final one, the one that was under the command of Marhab, that fort was the last fort. And that was the strongest of them all. So they had taken refuge in there. And Sahaba, they tried their utmost best. And there were three, alhamdulillah, three flag bearers among the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First was Sayyidina Habbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The second was Sayyidina Sa'd. And then the third, meaning the flag of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was held by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the conqueror of Khaybar.
Wow.
Subhanallah. And when they had approached this fort, this particular fort, it was very troublesome. They had spent days. Remember, they're not in their homeland. They are short on resources, whereas the Jews, they are packed with resources. They have all the supplies in their fort, and they have strong gates to protect the forts, the entrance. And the believers, the Sahaba, they tried their utmost best to penetrate through the gate and to get into the fort, but it was impossible. And it so happened that after days of struggle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a wonderful announcement that tomorrow I will give the flag in the hand of that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Khaybar will be conquered on his hand.
Subhanallah.
So now everybody is in suspense now, that who is going to be this fortunate individual that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking of. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that, you know, I was wishing maybe it could be me.
Subhanallah.
It was the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every Sahabi, the whole night, they were in this suspense as to who is going to be this fortunate person, and we would love to see that. And the next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Where is Ali? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, he's not well. He has irritation in his eye. And his eyes are in a lot of pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to call him. He summoned him and he came on the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sayyidina Ali, he has excused himself saying that, you know, I've got this problem. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the solution for it. And he placed his Mubarak saliva onto the eye of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and instantly all the pain and suffering was forgotten. As if never happened. As if it never happened. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was given the flag of victory. And first, they didn't launch an attack first. First, the da'wah of Islam was made to them.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, look at the peace-loving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He as well in the battlefield, in the middle of the battle. I mean, they have now the opportunity, the battle is about to be won. And here they are giving them the last chance.
Allah, Allah.
Come to Islam, subhanAllah. Come to safety. Allahu Akbar. But they never agreed to the Islamic values. And then the war was fought. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, single-handedly, he uprooted the gate of Khaybar that was so heavy that all the army of Sahaba, they couldn't penetrate that. And he single-handedly uprooted it and threw it aside.
Subhanallah.
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and who the same marhab we were speaking of, the same famous warrior of the Jewish army, the commander, Marhab now started boasting about his, you know, what a valor that he has. And the fight began. And mashallah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu finally defeated him and in such a way that he had deserved it. Subhanallah. And look at the bravery of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the lion of Allah for a reason. Look at pious servants, the pious predecessors, subhanallah, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their akhlaq. You know, they were, although he is the lion of Allah, but he would never boast about it. And he, alhamdulillah, kept to his humility. That was closer to his nature than him boasting. Yes, against the enemies of Allah, subhanallah, he was Haydari Karrar. But when it came to the brothers, subhanallah, he was loving and tender to the Sahaba, the other Sahaba that were brothers, as the Quran says, Ashiddao ala al-kuffar, ruhamahu bayna.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. Wow, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. The great victory of the believers against the people of Khaybar. And from the people of Khaybar as well, there were those that were taken as prisoners as well. There was a prisoner that was taken in at that time, a lady by the name of Safiya. And this name may sound familiar to us. After she came in as a prisoner, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set her free. She was a daughter of one of the leaders from amongst the people of Khaybar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set her free. she had accepted Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had proposed marriage to her. And this great lady, Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, had become Ummul Mu'mineen in this year as well. So subhanallah azza wa jal, that is another beautiful and amazing incident that surrounds this time of the conquest of Khaybar as well. Mulana Sabki, if you can share with us a few things more that happened within this blessed year of 7 years after Hijrah as well.
There are amongst those many things that did occur, carnivorous animals, that was prohibited also in that year, and riba was prohibited.
So there were more significant incidents as well within this year that certain things were made haram that may have not been previously haram. Also, remember the Umrah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ashab were going to perform in the year 6 after Hijri. Now, 7 years after Hijri, the next year, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with his Ashab, had made that journey, leaving Madinatul Munawwara, going to Makkatul Mukarramah. They were given 3 days at that time, but in those 3 days, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ashab performed Umrah as well. So that long-awaited Umrah, it took place in the year 7 years after Hijrah as well. In this Umrah, when the believers marched all the way to Makkatul Mukarramah and the disbelievers were saying, they are weak, how are they going to manage to perform tawaf? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ashab bravely had performed tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. They had performed Sa'i of Safa Marwa, alhamdulillah. They had this wonderful opportunity that they so much yearned for such a long time, to once again behold their beloved Kaaba, to once again do Sa'i of Safa and Marwa, to once again perform Salah behind Maqam Ibrahim, and to once again come to kiss Hajri Aswad. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah Azza wa Jal had granted them that sweetness, the sweet fruit of their patience, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And that brings us to the end, to the conclusion of today's program. Our honorable viewers of Madani Channel, we thank you, alhamdulillah, for being on this journey thus far with us of the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the timeline of the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are hopeful that inshallah azza wa jal, you will be with us to continue this blessed timeline of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this beautiful program for the next episode of the life chronology of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Step by step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace His blessed way. Step by step, we trace His blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.